Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all of these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game offs on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WYNNBET.com to start winning. And away we go, episode 194 of the Al Galdi Podcast. It is Wednesday, November 24th, 2021, the day before Thanksgiving 2021. Are you prepared for Thanksgiving? Have you purchased all of the food that you'll be eating on Thanksgiving? Will you instead be mooching off someone else on Thanksgiving? Are you excited for the football on Thanksgiving? Do you even care that we're about to have Thanksgiving? Whatever your answers to these questions may be, it is nice to have you with us. And let me say to you, as the owner of our Washington football team famously said, happy Thanksgiving.
First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, Dan Snyder, happy Thanksgiving. That, of course, from the introductory press conference of Ron Rivera as Washington head coach in January 2020. Danny presumably meant to say Happy New Year. He instead screwed up and said Happy Thanksgiving. Now, to Danny's credit, he eventually did a video with actor and Washington football team fan Matthew McConaughey poking fun at Dan having said Happy Thanksgiving. But, you know, as famous as that clip has become, and it is an all-time great soundbite, to me, the most underrated Washington football Thanksgiving soundbite of all time is this. Jay Gruden, a few years ago, at a press conference, being asked a week before Thanksgiving a total fluff question about Thanksgiving. And Jay wanted no part of the scheduled fun. You know, one thing that we learned about Jay during his five-plus seasons as Washington head coach was that he had a hard time of hiding his true feelings. He often could not help himself at his press conferences. And on this November day several years ago, perhaps because he was frustrated about other things, you know, maybe he had just had an argument with Bruce Allen, who knows, we had this exchange.
We're a week away from Thanksgiving. What is your favorite Thanksgiving tradition, or what do you like, enjoy most about Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving? We're talking about Thanksgiving now?
I love that soundbite. Jay Gruden wanted no part of that cliche, hackneyed media person Thanksgiving time question of, hey, what's your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? Hey, here's a really wacky and kooky question. It's a question about food. We don't usually ask about food. Now we're asking about food. Isn't that crazy? Jay had no interest in playing that reindeer game.
We're a week away from Thanksgiving. What is your favorite Thanksgiving tradition, or what do you like, enjoy most about Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving? We're talking about Thanksgiving now?
Yes, Good for you, Jay. What kind of Bruce Allen stories do you think that Jay and John Gruden will be sharing at Thanksgiving this year? Wouldn't you love to hear those stories? Well, all of those guys have plenty of time on their hands right now. And now so does Jason Garrett. How'd you like that on Tuesday? The former Dallas Cowboys head coach fired as New York Giants offensive coordinator. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving. And on this Thanksgiving-themed installment of the Al Galdi podcast, I have something special for you. A conversation with Taylor Heineke's collegiate head coach, former Old Dominion head coach, Bobby Wilder. I had Coach Wilder on the pod in early October after Washington's win at the Atlanta Falcons. Coach Wilder is terrific in talking Taylor Heineke. They are close. Coach Wilder knows Heineke as a player and as a person really well. And Coach Wilder is very honest about Heineke. Coach Wilder does not just like blow a bunch of smoke about Heineke. Coach Wilder has a lot to say about Heineke's recent play, what Heineke can be as an NFL quarterback, how Ron Rivera and Scott Turner should manage Heineke's running, and a lot more. Taylor Heineke is the talk of the town right now off the Washington football team, having won two consecutive games and him having played so well in each of those two games. And there's nobody better to talk Taylor Heineke than Bobby Wilder. And you'll hear my conversation with Coach going in-depth on Taylor Heineke coming up. Also, in honor of Thanksgiving and in honor of Washington's two-game winning streak, I have some scheduled fun combined with analytics-based analysis. The Washington football team players and units for whom and for which I am particularly thankful. I will give thanks next segment. Oh, by the way, this is not the last show of the week. I got this email from Robert Delaney. Will you be giving a scheduling update for the end of the week, seeing if I'll be turkey trotting with episode 195? Well, Robert, I will not be doing a show for Thursday. I will not be doing a show for Thanksgiving Day. Even I am taking off for Thanksgiving, but I will have a show for you for Friday. So be on the lookout for that. This will be a special show. It will include a special guest, Nathan Coleman of Full Press Coverage Washington, which is an outlet dedicated to coverage of the Washington football team. Nate is one of the smartest guys out there in terms of talking Washington football team and analytics. So we'll give you a good discussion. But yes, there will be an installment of the podcast for Friday. So whether you are doing some Black Friday shopping, or you're working, or you're doing nothing, and there's nothing wrong with doing nothing, you will have an episode of the podcast to which you can listen. Congratulations to Juan Soto of the Nationals, the best hitter on the planet. Another honor for him on Tuesday evening as he was named first team All-MLB for a second consecutive year. You can tweet me at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Tweet from peer-reviewed tweets. Interesting Twitter name. Here's the tweet. What's up with Tim Settle? Only 4 snaps in each of the last 2 games. Dude is usually solid, and yet he's not playing at all. Other 3 tackles just too good. Is he hurt? Or maybe he deviates from the scheme and he's actually held accountable. I'm glad that you brought up Tim Settle. Yeah, he is barely playing right now. Tim Settle has played on a total of just 23 defensive snaps over the last 4 games. Settle, in the 29-19 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at FedEx Field in Week 10, played on just 4 of Washington's defensive snaps. Settle, in the 27-21 win at the Carolina Panthers this past Sunday afternoon, played on just 4 of Washington's defensive snaps. Jack Del Rio actually got asked about Settle recently and said that Settle's decreased playing time is mostly about Matt Ioannidis mostly having been healthy. And I do think that that's the truth. Settle last regular season played on 33.2% of Washington's defensive snaps. But remember, Ioannidis suffered a season-ending torn left biceps in Week 3 of the 2020 season. Ioannidis has mostly been healthy this season, and so Settle has played on just 17.7% of Washington's defensive snaps. Settle is set to be an unrestricted free agent this offseason, as this season is the 4th and final season of his rookie contract, and I think that Tim Settle is as good as gone. I mean, Tim Settle can play. I'm sure he doesn't like not playing, and I fully expect him this offseason to sign with another team, a team for which he'll start or at the very least play a lot more when all of the other interior defensive linemen on the team are healthy. Speaking of playing time, have you seen or heard about this? I feel like there's been very little discussion about this. So Benjamin St. Juice in the win at the Panthers was back off a one-game absence caused by a concussion. He did not play on a single defensive snap. And, okay, so you might say, well, hey, maybe he's still coming off the concussion. Yeah, maybe, but he did play on five special team snaps. If the concern was that he was still feeling the effects of the concussion, he would not have played on special teams. He played on five special team snaps. He did not play on a single defensive snap for Washington in the win at the Panthers. Danny Johnson, again, was out there a decent amount. He played on 27% of Washington's defensive snaps. Something to monitor here. I don't know if Benjamin St. Juice got benched defensively. I don't know if maybe for some reason Washington didn't play him because he's coming off the concussion, but that to me was notable in terms of the playing time percentages from Washington's win at the Panthers. Email from Jim D on Maryland and Virginia football. Writes Jim D, I hope you are doing well. Happy Thanksgiving. Well, as a disappointed Wahoo struggling to comprehend our horrendous defense throughout the season, it got me thinking about how remarkable it was that we were in this position to contend for the conference in the first place. Honest question, with how wide open the ACC was this year, and with your continued qualms about how the Terps continually get eviscerated by ranked Big Ten teams, do you think that Maryland would have been better off never leaving the ACC? Well, thank you for the email, Jim, and a happy Thanksgiving to you.
First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, Danny, happy Thanksgiving. So here's my stance on Maryland moving from the ACC to the Big Ten. I don't blame Maryland for making the move, but yes, I do wish that Maryland was still in the ACC. Maryland moved from the ACC to the Big Ten for one reason: money. Everybody knows that. The reason is as simple as that: money. The ACC for years had its head in the clouds when it came to being forward-thinking and maximizing revenue. Just know this: Big Ten Network started in August 2007. ACC Network started in August 2019. 12 years before the ACC started its network, the Big Ten started its network. What the Big Ten started in 2007, the ACC didn't start until 2019. While the ACC was worrying about its sponsorship deal with Bojangles, the Big Ten was establishing a multi-million dollar revenue stream in Big Ten Network. So I don't blame Maryland for leaving the ACC for the Big Ten, especially when Maryland had been treated like a redheaded stepchild by the ACC for years. However, Maryland basketball and football were better off in the ACC. Basketball, because of the tradition, and yes, the ACC of today is very different than the ACC of 20 years ago, but as a Maryland fan, something absolutely has been lost in Maryland no longer playing Duke, North Carolina, and Virginia every year. And then with Maryland football, as you wrote, Jim, and as I have talked about, Maryland has gotten obliterated consistently by ranked Big Ten teams. I mean, these games have been embarrassing. They've been demoralizing. And while you never say never, it feels like we are never going to have Maryland be as good as Ohio State and Michigan State and Wisconsin and Iowa in football. The ACC is a weak football conference and has been for years. If not for Clemson, who knows where we'd be with the ACC as a football conference? And now that Clemson is down, who knows where we're headed with the ACC as a football conference? So from a competitive standpoint, Maryland very much could be competitive in the ACC and was competitive in the ACC. Maryland really has not been competitive in the Big Ten, at least from a standpoint of competing with the big boys. Things have not gone well for Maryland football on the field in the Big Ten, but as we know, college sports are about a lot more than just what happens on the field. And if those checks from the Big Ten are clearing, then I suppose it's worth it to Maryland to be in the Big Ten. Well, we always hope that things are going well in your life, especially this time of year, but we know that it's not always the case that things are going well. Bad things do happen, and I want to tell you about a law firm that is ready to represent you if you've been wronged. Paulson and Nace. Paulson and Nace handles complex personal injury, medical negligence, and wrongful death cases. The services of Paulson and Nace are available in D.C., Maryland, and West Virginia. Paulson and Nace is a family law firm. The Naces are DMV through and through, big Washington football team fans. Paulson and Nace has decades of experience trying cases to jury verdicts and fighting for those injured through no fault of their own. Barry Nace and Chris Nace are both past presidents of the D.C. Trial Lawyers. Matt Nace is a member of the board of the D.C. Trial Lawyers and has just tried two cases in D.C. I've known the Naces for 25 plus years. These are good people. These are smart people who are excellent at what they do. Paulson and Nace has recovered millions of dollars for the sick and injured. We have a saying in these parts. That saying is, if you have a case, contact Paulson and Nace. If you feel as if you've been wronged, if you have a complex personal injury, medical negligence, or wrongful death case, or you think that you may have one but aren't sure, call Paulson and Nace and schedule a no-obligation appointment. Yeah, you're obligated to nothing. See what Paulson and Nace might be able to do for you by calling 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. When you call, make sure that you tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Schedule a no-obligation appointment by calling 202-902-7611. Paulson and Nace, when tragedy happens, let their family take care of yours. All right, my conversation with Taylor Heinicke's collegiate head coach, former Old Dominion head coach Bobby Wilder, is coming up next segment. But with this installment of the Al Galdi podcast being for the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and with our Washington football team finally having a winning streak this season, I thought that it would be appropriate to give thanks for certain players and units on the Washington football team. The holiday season now is upon us. This is supposed to be a joyous time of year. For the longest while, this was not a joyous Washington football team season. This still may not end up being a joyous Washington football team season. I mean, the team has won two straight, okay? This isn't like a 9-game winning streak. But at least right now, we can have some joy. If you can't be happy on Thanksgiving, when exactly can you be happy?
First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Exactly, Danny. Thank you. And so, here are five Washington football team players and units for whom and for which I am thankful as a Washington football team fan. Here we go. For this Thanksgiving, I, as a Washington football team fan, am thankful for Jonathan Allen. You know, forget Pro Bowl caliber season. Allen is having an All-Pro caliber season. Jonathan Allen through week 11 is number 5 in the NFL in quarterback hits with 21. Tied for 6th are two of the best edge rushers in the NFL, TJ Watt of the Pittsburgh Steelers and Chandler Jones of the Arizona Cardinals. Each has 20. So Jonathan Allen has one more quarterback hit than TJ Watt has and one more quarterback hit than Chandler Jones has. Allen has an overall grade for Pro Football Focus this season of 90.5, which is outstanding. PFF grades are on a scale of 0 to 100. Allen easily has been Washington's best defensive player this season. And remember, he's doing what he's doing off having gotten paid. Washington, this past August, signed Allen to a 4-year, $72 million contract extension. So he got paid, and he's producing even more. How many guys do that? For this Thanksgiving, I, as a Washington football team fan, am thankful for Terry McLaurin. How could you not be? I mean, we start off with Jonathan Allen and Terry McLaurin. If you're not thankful for those guys, what exactly are you doing as a Washington football team fan? McLaurin in the 27-21 win at the Carolina Panthers this past Sunday afternoon. 5 receptions for 103 yards and a touchdown on 7 targets and playing on 93% of Washington's offensive snaps. McLaurin's overall grade for the game for Pro Football Focus was 87.6 as he put on a clinic in terms of contested catches. Final snap of the first quarter, Taylor Heinicke, 3rd and 9, 39-yard shotgun completion to McLaurin, who made a terrific leaping catch near the left sideline. Late in the second quarter, Heinicke, 1st and 10, 12-yard shotgun touchdown pass to McLaurin with 9 seconds left in the second quarter. McLaurin making a leaping catch for the touchdown, despite a pass interference penalty by safety Jeremy Chinn that was declined. Terry McLaurin, through week 11, is number one in the NFL by miles in contested catches per Pro Football Focus at 23. The next best total is 14. I mean, how about that? Terry McLaurin this season, an NFL best 23 contested catches per Pro Football Focus, and the next best total is 14. The next best total isn't, you know, 22 or 20. The next best total is 14. McLaurin has 23. NFL Network needs to apologize, needs to get on its knees and apologize for disrespecting Terry McLaurin and not having him on that NFL top 100 list this past summer. And yes, I know that that list is based on votes by NFL players. Shows you what they know. Jonathan Allen got paid this past summer. Terry McLaurin is going to get paid this coming offseason, as next season will be the final season of his four-year rookie contract. If McLaurin doesn't get paid this coming offseason, we have a problem. Remember, McLaurin, a third-round pick in the 2019 NFL draft out of Ohio State. So there's no fifth-year option in the rookie contract of Terry McLaurin. For this Thanksgiving, I, as a Washington football team fan, am thankful for Washington's top two running backs, Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissic. Now, I know that that may sound a bit odd with Gibson, but take a listen to this. So, yes, Antonio Gibson has had a fumbling problem this season, and the fumbling problem is a big deal. I mean, the guy has 5 fumbles in 10 games. He needs to stop fumbling. That first quarter red zone loss fumble that he had in the win at the Panthers was brutal. But also from Gibson in that game, right, were 19 carries for 95 yards. And here's the truth. Antonio Gibson this season has been better than he's being given credit for. So Gibson's yards per carry is just 3.9. Not that good, I know. But you have to be careful when evaluating a running back on his yards per carry. If that running back has a number of short yardage runs for first downs, his yards per carry may not be that good. Short touchdown runs will hurt a running back's yards per carry. A better way of evaluating running backs is a Football Outsiders stat called success rate. Football Outsiders defines success rate for a running back as the percentage of carries on which a running back gains 40% of needed yards for a first down on first down, 60% of needed yards for a first down on second down, and 100% of needed yards for a first down on third and fourth downs. Success rate, your rate of successful runs. A better way to me of evaluating running backs than yards per carry. Well, how about this with Antonio Gibson? He threw week 11 is number 10 among qualified running backs in the NFL in success rate per Football Outsiders at 55%. For context purposes, a success rate of above 50% is considered very consistent. Gibson is at 55%. I'm not telling you that Antonio Gibson is perfect, but especially considering that he has been dealing with that ailing shin, and he is still learning the position of running back, he has been better this season than people are saying. You know, you don't hear about this, right? That Antonio Gibson is top 10 in the NFL in success rate, and yet that is the case. You're not going to get that stat on a telecast of a Washington football team game. You're not getting that stat on a sports talk radio show, but I'm telling you right now, Antonio Gibson is top 10 in the NFL this season among qualified running backs in success rate per Football Outsiders. That matters, and Gibson deserves credit for that. As for J.D. McKissic, it's a little more obvious that he's having a good season. What is a second consecutive productive season for him with Washington? McKissic through week 11 is number 7 among non-qualified running backs in the NFL. Those with between 16 to 87 carries in rushing DVOA per Football Outsiders at 17.3%. DVOA stands for Defense Adjusted Value Over Average, is a measure of per play efficiency. If we're just looking at J.D. McKissic as a ball carrier, he is number 7 among non-qualified running backs in the NFL this season per DVOA. That's quite good. Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissic, each guy doing a nice job in his own way so far this season. They're not perfect, okay, but they're doing a nice job once again this season. For this Thanksgiving, I, as a Washington football team fan, am thankful for Washington's offensive line operation. And by that, I mean the offensive linemen, the offensive line coach, John Matsko, and those who put together this offensive line. The head coach in the coach-centric approach, Ron Rivera, a.k.a. Don Ron. The general manager, Martin Mayhew, and the executive vice president of football slash player personnel, Marty Herney. Washington's offensive line has been ravaged by injury this season. The starting right tackle, Samuel Cosmi, did not play in four consecutive games due to an ankle injury, returned in this past Sunday afternoon's win at the Panthers, and then suffered a hip injury in the second quarter. The starting right guard, Brandon Sheriff, missed four consecutive games due to a knee injury. The starting center, Chase Roullier, is on the reserve injured list due to having suffered a fractured left fibula and potentially ligament damage to his left ankle in the loss at the Denver Broncos in Week 8. His replacement, Tyler Larson, suffered a knee injury in the second quarter of the win at the Panthers, bringing Wes Schweitzer into the game to play center for Washington. Well, Schweitzer then dealt with an ankle issue, bringing Keith Ishmael into the game to play center for Washington. Yes, Washington won at the Panthers despite at one point being down to the team's third string center for the game and fourth string center for the season. The left side of Washington's offensive line has stayed healthy, knock on wood. Left tackle Charles Leno Jr., left guard Eric Flowers, and each of those guys has been really good, but the other three-fifths of the Washington football team offensive line has dealt with a lot in the way of injury. And yet, the advanced stats for Washington's offensive line this season are tremendous. So ESPN now has these run block and pass block win rate metrics based on player tracking data from the NFL's Next Gen Stats. Washington through week 11 is number one in the NFL in ESPN's team run block win rate at 77%, and number four in the NFL in ESPN's team pass block win rate at 67%. If you just go by ESPN's win rate blocking metrics, Washington may well have the number one offensive line in the NFL this season. That's incredible, and yet that be true, and it's quantifiable. And it's not just ESPN's metrics. Washington through week 11 is number one in the NFL in power success rate per Football Outsiders at 82%. Football Outsiders defines power success rate as the percentage of successful third and fourth down runs requiring no more than 2 yards for a first down or a touchdown. So, you know, power success rate is what it sounds like on power runs, on runs in power situations. How do you do? Well, Washington is number one in the NFL in power success rate this season. I mean, power success rate, I think, is a really good measure of your offensive line. Washington, for a second consecutive season, has been really good on short yardage runs. And that's despite, right, last season's short yardage back, Peyton Barber, being gone. You know, some eyebrows were raised when Washington released Peyton Barber in the cut down to 53. Now, Washington did sign Peyton Barber to the practice squad, but he got plucked off that by the Las Vegas Raiders. Well, here we are, Washington, number one in the NFL on short yardage runs this season. Power success rate, Washington number one. And Washington through week 11 is number seven in the NFL in lowest stuffed rate per Football Outsiders at 15%. Football Outsiders defines stuffed rate as the percentage of carries by running backs for no gain or negative yardage. You know, evaluating offensive linemen and offensive lines has always been tricky. There's a lot that we don't know. But these advanced stats are really good, I think, in terms of painting a picture of how offensive lines are doing. And these stats, which are the best stats out there for evaluating offensive line play, tell you a very clear story. Washington's offensive line this season is killing it. Ron Rivera, Martin Mayhew, Marty Herney did a very good job of adding depth to the offensive line this past offseason, drafting Samuel Cosmi, signing Charles Leno Jr., trading for Eric Flowers, signing Tyler Larson. Remember all of the angst over Washington releasing Morgan Moses? How does that decision look right now? And I say that even though, yes, Cosmi has missed a good bit of time, and Moses never missed time during his time as Washington's starting right tackle. But Cosmi, when he has played, has been good. Leno has been really good. Flowers has been really good. Roullier has been really good. Sheriff has been really good. Cornelius Lucas has been really good. What a job Lucas has done filling in at right tackle, off, remember, filling in at left tackle last season. Is there a better swing tackle in the NFL than Cornelius Lucas? If there is, there certainly aren't many. So there's a lot to like about and admire with this Washington offensive line. And credit Washington's offensive line coach, John Matsko. He is doing a great job. You know, John Matsko is one of many former Ron Rivera Panthers assistants, now on Ron Rivera's Washington coaching staff. Matsko has a great reputation, and he is living up to that reputation with Washington. And lastly, for this Thanksgiving, I, as a Washington football team fan, am thankful for Tressway. Yeah. You know, I don't talk about Tressway much on this podcast. I probably should talk about Tressway more on the pod. He continues to be an elite punter. Tressway through week 11 is number 3 in the NFL in yards per punt at 49.5 and number 6 in the NFL in net yards per punt at 42.6. Tressway has been a top-tier NFL punter for years now. Washington got Tressway via a waiver claim in August 2014. Does that not feel like forever ago at this point? Tressway's first season with Washington was Jay Gruden's first season as Washington head coach. Think about that. And Tressway has been tremendous, and he continues to be tremendous. And so I am thankful for him. So there you go. Some feel-good Washington football team talk during this Thanksgiving week. Now, notice that I did not bring up Taylor Heinicke. We're going to talk a lot about Taylor Heinicke up next as a welcome on his collegiate head coach, former Old Dominion head coach, Bobby Wilder. Wait till you hear what Coach Wilder has to say about what Heinicke could be as an NFL quarterback and what Coach Wilder has to say about Heinicke running more lately. We'll get to all of that and much more after this.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so the Washington football team has its first winning streak of the season. The Washington football team has gone from 2-6 to 4-6, and there is no bigger reason than the play of quarterback Taylor Heinicke. And I'm very pleased to welcome to the Al Galdi podcast right now a special guest, a man who knows Washington football team quarterback Taylor Heinicke quite well, former Old Dominion football head coach Bobby Wilder. He was ODU's head coach from 2009 through 2019. Heinicke was a quarterback for ODU from 2011 through 2014. It was with Coach Wilder and Heinicke that ODU made the transition from the FCS to the FBS beginning with the 2013 season. It was with Coach Wilder that Heinicke for the 2012 season won the Walter Payton Award as the best player in the FCS. Coach, it's great to have you back on the podcast. How are you?
Absolutely living the dream, my friend. How about you?
Doing well. It's good to have you on the podcast during this Thanksgiving week, and it's good to have you on the podcast during a time in which Washington has a two-game winning streak, and Taylor Heinicke has been a big part of that winning streak. The win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at FedEx Field in Week 10, the win at the Carolina Panthers in Week 11. How thrilling has it been for you to see Taylor do as he has done over these last two games?
It has been awesome, Al, and I tell you what, as Washington football fans, what we all have to be thankful for right now is that for the first time this year, the first time in 10 games out, we had a running game that wasn't reliant on Taylor Heinicke putting up big rushing numbers to be successful. And what I mean by that, if you go back 4 weeks, Al, we had 195 yards rushing at Green Bay, but 95 of them belong to Taylor Heinicke. And you look at a couple other games this year, Al, where we've gone over 100 yards rushing, at least 40 of those yards in two other games have been because of Taylor and his running ability. Well, in this game, we didn't need Taylor's running ability. I mean, he had a couple nice scrambles, but, you know, we rushed for almost 190 yards in this game, and it was from other guys. It was from the running backs, which is what Washington's going to need down this stretch if they're going to be able to compete for playoff spots. So that, to me, was what I am most thankful for going into this Thanksgiving weekend with the Washington football team, is the fact that for the first time in 10 games, we were successful running the ball. And Al, for Taylor Heinicke to be successful, I can't emphasize this enough, he is not a drop back 40 times a game from the pocket guy. He's a play action guy who needs the run game. And finally, we had it this weekend.
Yeah, Washington's running game was terrific in the win at the Panthers. Taylor Heinicke was terrific in the win at the Panthers. Was that performance the best performance of Taylor's NFL career, or is there another performance that stands out to you even more?
I think it was sensational. I put it up there with the playoff performance last year at Tampa Bay. The start that I was at in person back in 2018 for Washington against Atlanta was a really good game, Al. He turned the ball over in the red zone, and that's why he ended up getting cut by the Panthers. Unfortunately, that's been his existence. It's been every game. He's got to play well, or he might not have a job. But this one was spectacular from the standpoint of the throws he made in the red zone. I mean, he made just a couple spectacular throws. I thought the performance last week against Tampa Bay, because of the fact they were on a four-game win streak, they had to win that football game. You're playing the defending Super Bowl champions who were coming off a loss the week before to the Saints, or 2 weeks before, coming off a bye just like Washington. So you're thinking Tampa Bay is going to be on fire, and he just played so well in that football game. I know he didn't grade out as well from Pro Football Performance, but 26 for 32, Al, I'll take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. But I do think, because they were on the road, this was a highly ranked defense, that I'm putting this up there as a tie with his performance against Tampa Bay last year in the playoffs.
So you mentioned those tight window throws by Taylor Heinicke in the win at the Panthers. Ron Rivera on Monday afternoon during his day after the game Zoom press conference was very complimentary of Taylor Heinicke's tight window throws in the win at Carolina. All three of Taylor's touchdown passes in the win at the Panthers were red zone touchdown passes. What stood out to you watching Taylor Heinicke operate in the red zone on Sunday?
I think the biggest thing was what I saw as a coach, looking at it as a coach and not just Taylor Heinicke's college coach. I saw some creativity in the red zone. I saw some layered routes that use the entire field. Taylor is a horizontal guy. I've said this before, Al. I said it last year going into the playoff game, and I got laughed at by a lot of people, but he's a five-read guy. I've been a coach 30 years. I've coached quarterback for 30 years. I had a number of three-read guys. I never had a four-read guy. He's a five-read guy. What I mean by that is he can get one through five. He can usually do one and two pre-snap, meaning either confirm or eliminate 1 and 2, and then he can get 3, 4, 5 in 2.6 seconds, or he can move with his feet and make it happen. So what we did at Old Dominion with him is we gave him layered routes, or we gave him horizontal routes. We gave him a couple double moves, some stick moves, or some choice option routes in the red zone. Because remember, when you get down there, there's 12-man football for the defense. They've got the 12th defender, which is the end line. They usually only have to defend 15 to 20 total yards, so you get tighter coverage, you get harder throws, you get smaller windows. And what I saw from Scott Turner on Sunday was a couple of really nice option routes and a couple of routes that were layered down there. So if they can continue to be creative and give him some multiple read throws down there, they're going to be more successful.
Taylor Heinicke, during Washington's four-game losing streak in October, admitted that he was trying to be perfect and that he wasn't really playing like himself. He does seem to have found that right balance over these last two games. What has jumped out to you from a standpoint of Taylor Heinicke's mindset over these last two games?
I see somebody that is extremely confident. You and I talked about this last year, Al, but he's always presented himself on the field as in control. That's one of the things I tried to teach him early on at Old Dominion. His high school coach, Kevin Reach, did a great job with it at Collins Hills in Atlanta, is that everybody's watching you on the field, whether it's the 10 guys in the huddle, the defensive guys on the sideline, the fans. So try to avoid those defeatist looks, your head going down, throwing your arms up in the air. You'll see that so many times from quarterbacks, and I just cringe when I see that, because that defeatist look affects the entire organization, and Taylor does such a good job with that, Al. Well, now it's that combination of I'm going to show everybody I'm in control, to now not only am I going to show everybody I'm in control, but people are going to see a confident guy, a guy that really believes he's an NFL quarterback. I think in the last 2 weeks, Al, his QBR has gone from 26th in the league to 22nd. So in just two short weeks, he's already made that move. And I said this earlier in the year, and again, got laughed at a lot for it, and I understand why, but I said I thought if the people around him performed at a high enough level, he would play as a top 15 quarterback in the league. And what I'm about to say, Al, is no knock to anybody else in that organization, because I love Washington. But you tell me, Al, if we're being honest, who on that offense starts on every other NFL team besides Terry McLaurin? Is there anybody else, in your opinion, that could start everywhere else in the league?
Everywhere else in the NFL, no. I mean, obviously, there are guys on Washington who would start on other teams, but in terms of a surefire starter on every other NFL team beyond Terry McLaurin, no.
Okay, and the reason I bring that up is because Taylor Heinicke right now is a solid football player, Al. He's not by any means a definite starter in this league. I'm not in any way saying that he's going to start for the Washington football team next year. But what I am saying is if you took Taylor Heinicke right now and put him with the Dallas Cowboys offensive skill personnel or the Kansas City Chiefs, I truly believe he's a top 15, maybe even in the top 10 guy statistically in the league. And right now he's doing what he's doing with some average guys, with some guys that weren't on this roster or weren't on the active roster at the start of the year. And a credit to those guys, because you got a bunch of other guys right now that are playing their asses off out there on the field, guys that weren't considered to be NFL players, in my opinion, at the start of the season. So guys are rallying together, they're rallying around him. But the point I'm making, Al, in a long-winded way, is what he's doing right now is even more impressive in that he's not protected by skill guys that are all pro guys, other than McLaurin. In my opinion, McLaurin's an all pro guy. He's missing some key parts. I really think losing Logan Thomas was just an unbelievable dagger, Al, because of how important Logan Thomas was to Taylor Heinicke. I remember talking to Taylor this summer and just how excited he was to continue to grow with Logan and get to know him. He felt like Logan was a matchup problem for every team, not just for linebackers, but for safeties, and how comfortable Taylor felt throwing to him. Well, that was a huge loss, Al, for not just for Washington, but for Taylor Heinicke, for his growth and development, and other guys who stepped in and done a nice job. But I wish Logan was back and wish he was healthy, because I think this offense would be even more than a 29 points against Tampa Bay, you know, which has been their high the last 6 weeks. I think this offense could score in the low 30s if Logan Thomas was part of the equation right now.
Yeah, well, we did have some reports on Monday that Logan Thomas could be back practicing this week and maybe available to return for Washington's next game, the game against the Seattle Seahawks at FedEx Field on Monday Night Football this coming Monday night.
Boy, I really hope we get him back, Alan. And even if it's not for Seattle, it's, you know, for the coming up with the Raiders and then the, you know, that four-game stretch with the Cowboys and the Eagles. That offense just desperately needs him, and I know Taylor Heinicke wants him back in the worst way.
Yeah, no doubt. We all do. So the last time that we spoke, you talked about how it had been impressed upon Taylor Heinicke that he only run when necessary, that him staying healthy was of utmost importance. We then had the four-game losing streak, and toward the end of the losing streak, and certainly over these last two games, we are seeing Taylor Heinicke run. In fact, we're now even seeing some design runs, you know, some read option runs. What do you make of that? Do you think that Ron Rivera and Scott Turner realized that they needed to let Taylor be Taylor and not be too conservative?
Well, let me answer that two different ways. First, I'll talk as a coach. If I'm Ron Rivera, and I was a head coach for 13 years, what Ron is thinking right now, and I completely understand, he is scared to death that Taylor gets hurt running the ball. And let's be honest here, Al. Taylor has a history of getting hurt in the NFL. Okay? He's got what happened to him in Minnesota, which was self-inflicted, then what happened to him when he was playing for the Panthers with the elbow, and then what happened to him in the playoff game last year. So Ron, now Scott Turner has been with him all three times he was hurt. Remember, Scott was with him in Minnesota, Scott was with him in Carolina, and that's where Ron entered into the picture, and now in Washington. So you've got Scott Turner calling the plays and Ron Rivera that are scared to death that he's going to get hurt. And no knock to Kyle Allen, Al, but you and I both know what they have with Kyle Allen. So they're trying their best to let Taylor play football and let him play Taylor's game, but they're also understanding that Ryan Fitzpatrick's not coming back. They understand that. So they're in this catch-22 as a head coach. Now, let me talk to you as Bobby Wilder, who knows Taylor Heinicke's game better than anybody. He has to be allowed to run, and you have to trust him that he'll get down. Great example, Ron, or Al. Remember the play Sunday? I forget exactly when it was, but he slid and got hit, and there was a 15-yard penalty?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where Ron's heart went into his throat, but we have to trust and understand Taylor knows when to get down now. The last 2 weeks are, and I've watched every play of every game this year, that's the least amount he's been hit and physically really been hit hard. He's done a phenomenal job protecting himself, even on the scrambles. That ridiculous play he made on fourth down, the scramble and the throw to the backup tight end, even on that play, Al, he avoided a major hit. He did get hit, but he avoided major contact when he got the ball off. So Ron and Scott right now are getting to the point where they feel more comfortable and they trust Taylor's ability to slide. And Taylor's growing exponentially now with the fact that he's started, I think he's up to 10 games now in his NFL career, or 11 games, that he's more comfortable with his surroundings. And that takes time, Al. It just takes time for a quarterback to get comfortable. But the trust level, I can tell from the way Scott and Ron are calling things, the trust level is increasing. And if I picked up the phone right now and called Scott Turner, I would say to him, Scott, let him go. If you can keep this run game going, keep adding more and more play action. That's the best. The best in the world for Taylor is play action, because he's getting more lanes to throw and he can make decisions when to run.
What were you thinking on Sunday watching Taylor Heineke's incredible 4th-and-3, 6-yard completion to John Bates on the broken play? Heineke running to his left, puts on the brakes, and then somehow makes the completion despite two Panthers defenders coming right at Heineke, including one of those defenders, Brian Burns, hitting Heineke.
I was thinking I saw that 100 times between watching every one of his high school games and then the 4 years that he was with me at Old Dominion. I've seen that 100 times. And I know Ron had a funny comment. I don't know if it was that play or another play where he said he heard Scott say no, no, yes, or something like that. I initially, when he was a freshman, would say no, no, yes. And then once his sophomore year, the year he threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns and won the Walter Payton Award, it just got to the point where it was just let him go. Let him. He's an artist. You know, give him his brush and give him his paint and just let him go. You know, try to. People are shocked when I say this, Al. I don't know if I've told you this before, but his sophomore year when we were averaging 50 points a game and over 500, we led the nation in yards and scoring. We had 2 run plays and about 12 pass plays.
Wow.
That was it. Yeah, and people are shocked. And the reason I say that is what we did, we would just give him shapes. And because he's a, you know, he's an engineering, mathematical wizard, numbers, shapes make a lot of sense to him. And then we'd let him go to the line of scrimmage and call the play. We'd say, okay, here's what they're doing coverage-wise when they give us this look in man, you know, choose from this playlist. When they're giving us 2 deep, choose from this playlist. When they're playing 3 deep, choose from this playlist. So we just, like I said, we give him his canvas and his paintbrush and just let him go. And so we'd let him be creative. And really every year he would rush for somewhere between 300 and 500 yards and 5 to 10 touchdowns with no run plays. He had no run plays. It was just that formula I told you about earlier, hash number sideline. When you run, you know, get to the hash, get to the numbers, try to get to the sideline if you can't get down. So we didn't put restrictions on him other than he wasn't allowed to lower his shoulder and run into somebody unless it was a 4th down, win the game type of thing. And we just let him go. Now, that took time. We had to learn to trust him. So Scott and Ron are trying to do that, but they also know they're standing, you know, with their back right on the edge of the cliff, because if he gets hurt, it's a really difficult situation. So I really feel for those guys and what they're trying to do, but you've got to let him be the best of himself, because he's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He plays a different style of game, and he has to be allowed to use his movement skills for him to be successful. And then for Washington, with the limited number of big time playmakers they have, he's got to be allowed to create a little bit with a paintbrush if they're going to continue to win games.
Something else that Ron Rivera said about Taylor Heineke during Ron's Day After the Game Zoom press conference on Monday was Ron compared Taylor Heineke's huddle command to the huddle commands of Philip Rivers and Alex Smith. What do you think about when someone brings up the huddle command of Taylor Heineke?
Yeah, I think, Al, what I've noticed looking at it through a coach's lens is it's always about how the other guys look at you. That's how I always judge quarterbacks and their command of a huddle. How do the other guys react to you? How do they look at you coming into the huddle? How do they listen to what you say? I thought last week it was great, Al. One of the funniest things you can ever see, when he was mic'd up trying to explain the 2-point conversion to the guys in the huddle, you know, why they were going to take a knee. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, that was classic, because, you know, you're listening to that as a fan going, how can they not understand that? But that was a hard thing for guys in the heat of the battle to understand, for an offensive lineman to understand. Why aren't we trying to, you know, stick this right in their backside right now? And Taylor's calmly explaining to it. And then just the way those guys reacted to him explaining that, you can just hear he's got such a calm demeanor. And every time those guys get quoted about him in the paper, they talk about how much they love playing with him and for him. I forget the name of the guy for the Panthers who complimented Taylor after the game about being a competitor and, you know, moxie and savvy. So the respect level those guys have for him, that's the one thing. When I talk to Taylor, Al, that means more to Taylor than anything else right now, is those guys respecting him. And he fights and scratches and claws every day, whether it's in a meeting, whether it's in the locker room, the training room, the weight room. He is always so conscious about wanting to earn the respect of his teammates, wanting them to know that he'll do anything it takes to win, because he wants that in return, Al. He wants that on fourth and three, that guys will fight and scratch and claw to protect him and get a first down. So he's trying to earn it 24/7 all during the week so he can have it in the huddle on Sunday.
Final question. So I'm sure that you're aware of the constant Taylor Heinicke conversation in Washington, D.C. What is he as an NFL quarterback? What isn't he as an NFL quarterback? What can he be? What can't he be? To the question of whether Taylor Heinicke can be a franchise quarterback, what do you say?
Obviously the thing I would say is his coach and mentor and even his friend is absolutely 100%. But if I'm being completely honest to answer your question, the type of quarterback he is, the style of football he plays, he needs the right pieces around him. And what I mean by that is he needs Terry McLaurin, he needs Logan Thomas, he needs McKissick at his absolute best all the time. He needs a number two and a number three receiver that can play at the level of Terry McLaurin. He needs help. And I said this before earlier in our conversation. You look what look what Kansas City has at skill. Look what Dallas has at skill. Look what Tampa Bay has at skill. Look at what some of these teams, Al, have at the skill positions. I mean, look up in Buffalo. Look what Buffalo has at skill. And for somebody like Taylor Heinicke and the style he plays, he needs skill guys around him that can play at a high level. I give tremendous compliments right now to the offensive line. The way the offensive line played last year in a playoff game and the way they played so far this year. He very rarely is he just overwhelmed at the snap. So my answer to you, Al, is yes, I believe he can be a starting quarterback. If I had to look in a crystal ball, I'd say he's going to be on somebody's roster for the next 10 years because the style he plays, he can create instant offense. We saw that when he came off the bench with no practice time last year, Al, in the Carolina game. And then we saw it in the Tampa Bay game. He has the ability to produce offense and produce points. Now, does he put the ball in danger at times? Absolutely he does. It's hard not to in the NFL. But I truly believe if he's surrounded with the right people, he can start in the NFL and be a good, solid, even a top 15 type of player. It's all going to depend on what's around him, in my opinion, what the level of success is, Al, that he can have in the NFL. We're seeing these last two games, he can be very productive with a solid roster, not a great roster, not those other teams I just mentioned. He can be productive and he can win. Now, what will Washington invest around him? Are they going to trade the farm to move up to get a first round? Are they going to sign somebody in the offseason and invest a ton of money in that? So a lot's up in the air right now, but in my humble opinion, I think he can be a solid NFL starter, and I think he's showing us that right now.
Excellent. Coach Wilder, love getting your insight. Great having you back on the podcast. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and I appreciate your time very much.
And I plan on being there Monday night for the Seattle game, Al, so I'm definitely going to look you up when I'm up in the area.
I appreciate that greatly, Coach. All the best to you. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great day, Al.
All right. Well, lots of good stuff from Taylor Heinicke's collegiate head coach, former Old Dominion head coach, Bobby Wilder. last segment on Taylor Heinicke. How about Coach Wilder saying that Heinicke, if he was playing for the Dallas Cowboys or Kansas City Chiefs, would be a top 10 to top 15 quarterback statistically in the NFL? Coach Wilder also had some interesting stuff to say about how Ron Rivera and Scott Turner should handle Taylor Heinicke regarding his running. I'm interested in your feedback to what Coach Wilder had to say. You can tweet me at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. And that will do it for you and me for now. So no show for Thursday, which is Thanksgiving, but there will be a special show for Friday, what will be episode 195, a Black Friday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. And the Black Friday installment of the pod will include another special guest for you talking Washington football team, Nathan Coleman of Full Press Coverage Washington, which is an outlet dedicated to coverage of the Washington football team. Nate is one of the best people out there in terms of talking Washington football team and analytics. He understands the advanced stats and concepts very well. So I will have for you a high-level Washington football team conversation for Friday's show. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and I'll talk to you on Friday.
We're a week away from Thanksgiving. What is your favorite Thanksgiving tradition, or what do you enjoy most about Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving? We're talking about Thanksgiving now?